We will continue our series on the Good Shepherd. Therefore, let us open God's Word and look in John chapter 10, the verses 1 through 18. The Gospel according to John chapter 10, the first 18 verses. And there we read God's holy word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon and of the meditations at the table is found in this portion, the verses 10b, 11, 14, and 15. And we'll read these verses again. Verse 10b, where we read, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then we continue at verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Beloved congregation, last week we heard that the good shepherd calls his sheep by name. Did you hear his voice? If you by grace belong to his sheep, then you know his voice. It is the same voice that called you where captured by sin and misery. He called you, and you could not but obey, trusting his work of salvation. And since then, he calls us and goes before us, drawing our attention to him who safely leads his flock through life's journey. Behind the shepherd, we are safe. This morning we will hear more about the shepherd who is emphatically called the good shepherd. First, we hear that he has come, and at a table we hear more about his gifts and his relationship to his sheep. In John chapter 10, the Lord tells a parable about the sheepfold. After listening to the parable itself last Sunday, we zoomed in on the door last Wednesday. Jesus Christ is the door which we need to pass through in order to live in communion with God again, to belong to the fold. Jesus Christ is the only door. He gives access to the sheepfold. He is a door for the sheep. And a child of God knows himself as a sheep that has entered the sheepfold through Jesus Christ. Without him, it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God. And now the table is set for all his sheep. After he has said that he is the door, he provides another application of the parable. Now he zooms in on the shepherd. And what appears? He says that he is the good shepherd. And by saying this, he explains to his audience that he differs from all other shepherds. He is the good shepherd. A shepherd you can find nowhere else in the world. A shepherd that has not been known before and whose excellency cannot be surpassed. He is the good shepherd. The shepherd par excellence. And if we wonder what made him so excellent, then among other things we could say that he has come. He has come. That's what we read in verse 10. I am come. And that's a profound word. I am come. From where did he come? He came from above. He came from heaven, where he was with the Father. He has come from eternity, where he lived in perfect communion with the Father. John says that he was in the bosom of the Father. And yet he left this heavenly glory to become man. And we find this miracle of grace summarized by Paul in Philippians 2, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why then did he come to be humiliated? Why did he visit such a wicked world? Because he is the good shepherd. God the Father has given his sheep to his Son. His sheep are in the world, and they are in a very bad condition due to sin. And because of his love to his Father's justice, he was willing to take full responsibility for his sheep. Therefore, he became the good shepherd for his flock. They were given to him by the Father, and he has promised that none of them would be lost. And the set table proclaims to us this morning, I am come. I am come for my flock. Oh, when a child of God looks at self, or he or she will say, will wonder, how can I come to him? Well, here is the answer to this important question. We can come to the table since he has come first. He has come to those who are lost in themselves. The blind-born man of chapter 9 was an example of this. He was healed, but forsaken by his parents. and cast out by the spiritual leaders of his days. Those who were called to be shepherds for the people of Israel failed to fulfill their task because of their unbelief and selfishness. But Jesus came to the blind man to save him. Jesus could do so, since he is the good shepherd. And the emphasis in our text, however, is on that one letter, which is most precious. It's in verse 10. I am come. He is so different. He is totally different in comparison to man. He has come not for his own sake, but for his Father's sake. He has come to save, since he is filled with compassion to the lost. And how does he save his people? Well, he gives them life, says verse 10. I am come that they might have life. We have no life in ourselves. We lie in the midst of death, says our form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. But he came down from above to enter into our death. He who is the creator and sustainer of life voluntarily entered into the depth of his sheep's misery, namely death. He did not shrink back from death. Though he expressed his fear and hellish agony when he faced the wrath of God over sin, but he entered our death so that we would have life through him. Life through him. How? He conquered death. He paid the penalty which we deserve. He satisfied God's just wrath. And therefore he has come. This is such a miracle of grace. He has come in the manger in Bethlehem. He has come to flee from Bethlehem to Egypt on the run of Herod. He has come. Well, there was no place for him. He says, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What a shepherd. He has come in order to descend into the deepest humiliation. He has come to be forsaken by his Father. He has come to this all for the sake of his sheep. Do you behold him? Do you know him as the one who has come for you? The deepest humiliation he entered into was necessary for your salvation. And now he is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, as the great high priest, making intercession for his sheep. He has come also when he poured out his Spirit. He comes to us under the means of grace, namely the preaching of his word and the administration of the sacrament. All things are ready. And also this morning he says to you, I am come to you in the means of grace. And with my Spirit, I dwell among my sheep. For what reason? That all those whom he has made alive will have life more abundantly. Have life more abundantly. How is that possible? All God's people live. You cannot be more alive than yesterday, can you? That's true in natural life. But in spiritual life, it is different. For sure, all those who are regenerated are made alive. But there's still so much death in our heart and life. And we need His quickening grace so that we will have life more abundantly. What does that mean? More abundantly. This means that you live more out of Christ. That means that we increasingly die to self and live from His merits. And then we do not talk about our life anymore. Paul says, not I live, but Christ lives in me. And when we have life more abundantly in us, then our heart is enlarged. Yes, our heart needs to be enlarged so that there will be more room for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have life. And then our heart and mind will be increasingly directed to Him and His will. And to the extent that life is more abundant, we benefit from Christ's merits in this lifetime. Oh, we find so much comfort with the Lord Jesus. We find power to fight sin, power to hope in the Lord, power to wait on the Lord, power to be content with what we are. Living more abundantly means receiving from His storehouse of grace in abundance. The Good Shepherd is not stingy or restrictive about granting life to those who enter His fold. Look at the set table, richly laid before us. It's prepared for His sheep. And you can only be blessed by it through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only partake of it if you are united with the Shepherd in faith. And His gifts cannot be received apart from the person. There are no gifts available apart from the Shepherd, who has merited all gifts. And you know, the gifts do not differ from the Shepherd. Therefore, there is abundance for needy ones. And the love of the Shepherd never ceases. The love between the Father and the Son never stops. In Christ Jesus, we are perfect before the Father. For Jesus' sake, we will receive grace for grace. And if you may know Him by faith, then He calls you this morning to proclaim His death till He comes. Maybe you still struggle. On the one hand, you cannot deny that the Lord has started a good work in you. You have heard the voice of the Shepherd, and you know something of His powerful work in your life. You became sinner before Him, in desperate need of His grace. But if you look at your sin, your daily struggle with unbelief, and the lack of zeal to serve Him as you ought, then you wonder, how can I come? Maybe you came to church this morning with this question. Is this a reason why you are dismayed and discomforted? Well, listen carefully. While you wonder how you can come, He says to you this morning, I am come. That's the only suitable answer to your question, how you can come. What matters is that He says, I am come. And therefore, sheep which lie in the midst of death can come to Him. I am come, that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Wine and bread show to you that with him there is abundant life. Your poor condition makes you suitable to be filled with much of his grace. And you? You cannot but bow your head in shame. You have only reason to humble yourself before the Lord and to stand in amazement at his grace. And indeed, he is the good shepherd for hopeless and helpless sheep. Look to him who has all that you lack. It pleases him to have needy people at his table. Amen. The Lord Jesus is in our midst this morning under the means of grace. How is he among us? Well, as the good shepherd. Why is he not simply called the shepherd? Why did he add the qualification good? What is it meant with good? Well, not merely good as the opposite of bad. No, good means here that there is no one like him. He is a shepherd par excellence. He is the shepherd beyond our comprehension. Good comprises the qualification of precious, suitable, beautiful, commendable, excellent. And as the good shepherd, he is very attractive and adorable, worthy to be honored and praised. And we wonder what distinguishes him from the shepherds of his days, such as the Pharisees and scribes. Because in Scripture, spiritual leaders are called shepherds. They were shepherds of Israel. But by revealing himself as the good shepherd, he unmasks the false shepherds. And by saying that he is the good shepherd, he hints at his divinity. No one is good but one, and that is God. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. We read in Ezekiel 34, verse 12, "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." That is what he does. He delivers his sheep and gathers them from their misery into his fold, the misery in which they had brought themselves. He delivers them from sin and guilt. He delivers them from eternal destruction. How can he do that? Because he's the good shepherd. He is the shepherd who is completely focused on the well-being of his sheep. His sheep and their well-being demand all his attention. He takes care of his flock day and night, since he always is mindful of them. And now he is in heaven making intercession for his church day and night. He is the shepherd who has come to seek and find that which is lost. And no effort is too much for him to save his sheep. He seeks them in their wandering paths. He descends to the depths of our misery. And he finds us while we are entangled in the thorns and thistles of sin and temptation. He finds his sheep where the good shepherd would never lead them. But he goes after them, calling them, delivering them, putting them on his shoulder, and brings his sheep to his fold. If they are wounded, he will pour out the wine and oil of his comfort and healing grace. He will feed his sheep. And with his good shepherd, There is nourishment for spiritual hunger and thirst. And all he provides us is good, healthy, invigorating food, since it is provided by him, the good shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters, now that you are fed with heavenly food and drink, don't you agree with me that he is the shepherd par excellence? He takes care of us in a special, unique way, while we do not even deserve a single crumb from the Master's table. And yet he feeds his sheep with abundance, since he is good. Verse 14 continues with the words, "And know my sheep, and am known of mine." What does that mean? Well, the Lord Jesus speaks about a mutual knowledge. The shepherd consciously knows his sheep and vice versa. How? Well, because he sought and found his sheep. If it's well, you know where he found you. Where? In your sin and misery. And there you begin to realize something of your need. And when you begin to realize that you are dead in sin and trespasses, you got to know the Lord Jesus in his vicarious suffering. The Good Shepherd showed you who he really is, that and who you are, that you are in your maybe decent appearance and self-righteousness not fit with him. But when you became a sinner before God, you also began to realize that he knows you better than you know yourself. And is that clearly displayed by the tokens of bread and wine? They point us to the curse which we deserve due to our sin. And a good shepherd knows who we are and what we have done. And while he lays his finger on our misery, he also assures us that he has no pleasure in our death. He does not send miserable sinners away, but is most willing to accept them. And by teaching us our misery, he also shows us his love. Though we are inclined to run away from God, though we have turned our back on him, he reveals to us his shepherding care. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And therefore he has prepared a complete salvation, perfectly suitable for lost sinners. And he knows exactly how lost sheep can be saved. He knows God's holy demands. And he knows that we cannot save ourselves. He knows us. And therefore he came into this world as the good shepherd to graciously provide in our need. And under the preaching of his word, under the signs and seals of the sacrament, he clearly displays, "I know your needs. Look to me, for I am the only one who can save you. Look to me again when you have gone astray, unconsciously or willingly. Look to me, for with me is forgiveness, with me is peace." And as the good shepherd, he wants you at his richly prepared table, since he knows you. You are weak in self. Your faith needs to be strengthened. Look how he provides. He knows what you need and is pleased when you get to know him better. And while you're sitting at the table, we may look to the host, the good shepherd, who so tenderly grants grace for grace. We read in verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." The Lord Jesus compares the relationship between the good shepherd and his sheep with the relationship between the Father and the Son. For that relationship, he uses the word know. The Greek word points to an intimate knowledge embodied in love. As the good shepherd, he says to his sheep, I know you in love. I know you as you are. Though you did not ask for me, I asked for you. I know you as the Father knows me and I know the Father. What knowledge is that? That's beyond our limited understanding. It's a perfect knowledge, a divine knowledge. The good shepherd knows his sheep from all eternity. Even before something of us began to live, he knew us. He knew us in our sinful state before we knew ourselves. He knew us and loved us. In Romans 5, verse 8, we read, But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, he suffered hellish agony. He shed his blood for the propitiation of all our sins. He loved enemies. What a miracle of grace. The Lord says in Jeremiah 31, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. Only because of his knowing us in love from eternity, we love him. His one-sided love causes us to love him in return. And should this not break our heart now that we have tasted the tokens of his love? Consider for a moment what price he paid to save you, to reconcile you to God. And maybe you say, I agree. And I hope so. He's worthy of all my love. But I also must confess that my love is so limited and insufficient. And you wonder, how can I love him more and deeper? How can I grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our love to him pales in the light of his love for us. And you're right. And yet the Lord Jesus compares the mutual love between the Father and the Son with the mutual love between the Good Shepherd and his sheep. How can he do that? Well, let me ask you this. Your love to the Lord, where does it come from? From above. By nature, we have no love to God and to his service. Our love to him is laid in our heart by God himself. And therefore, we can say that our love to the Lord has something mysterious. That's what you also experience at times when your heart overflows while seeing the beauty of the shepherd. And then you say, he is good. He is beautiful. Par excellence indeed. That is what he puts in your heart. And at such times you can sing along with Solomon, This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. You rejoice in the Lord and in his work, and you look forward to the day that you will know him without any hindrances. And you confess along with Paul, For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known.